Amen. Let's go quickly to John 3:16. Everyone say, I have a declaration of dependence.
I have a declaration of dependence.
Okay. We're going to read John 3, verses 16 and 17 together. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's very important that we remember that. We're not to condemn anybody. We're not to condemn any nation, regardless of what they do. They just don't know what we know. So we have a responsibility to go out there and teach them by example first and then by words with what it means when the Bible says, for God so loved. Okay? Now, I'm not going over. I wanted to put up the Declaration of Independence. But God said, no, since this is his show, I'm doing it what he says. But you can look at it. It's a document, and it's very specific. It tells what this nation wanted to be about, and it tells why it wanted to be a free nation. And there's nothing wrong with being independent, but God was showing me some things about being independent, and I'm going to show them to you. First of all, by definition, what do you think independent means? You're all right. It means freedom. Freedom from the control, influence, support, or aid of someone else. You're free. And declaration, by definition, is an explicit or an emphatic statement. That's a declaration. That's different than just telling somebody something. When you make a declaration, it's serious. And this country declared that it was going to be independent from Great Britain. And they didn't care who knew it, and they didn't care what anybody felt about it. A declaration of independence is an announcement. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. It's an announcement that says very strongly, I don't need you. That's what it says. I don't need you. That's right, Pastor Sarah. And you will not control me. Period. I'm independent. That was the message that was sent to Great Britain. They said, we don't need you. We don't have anything to do with you, period. We don't like your laws. We don't like your restrictions. You don't like what you require us to give. And they were talking about taxes, not tithing. So we're putting you out. And we're now a free nation. Everybody say free.
Free.
Okay. Turn to John 8. Because if we're going to understand independence, we have to understand freedom. And we need to understand freedom from the biblical aspect of it. Okay. John 8, verse 31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
They answered him. Beg pardon? Right, he said, truth will make you free. Right. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be made free? And that was a valid question, because none of them were in slavery. Ancestors were, but not them. So if I was never a slave, then why do I need to be made free? See, they weren't thinking spiritually, they were thinking naturally. And Jesus knew that. So he said, verse 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Say servant of sin. Okay, now listen. The servant, verse 35, abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If you're sinning, Jesus said you are a servant of sin. A servant does what he or she is instructed to do and doesn't have any freedom of choice. See, when you make a choice to sin, whatever sin tells you to do, you're obligated to do it. Why? Because you're a slave. You're a slave. So he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How many times is free used in that scripture? If the Son therefore shall make you free, then you are free indeed. Twice. Do you know they don't mean the same thing? They're similar, but they don't mean the same thing. In that passage, free, as in make you free, it's the Greek word eleuthero. It means set at liberty from the dominion of sin. That's what free means. You're set at liberty from the dominion of sin. The second time it's used, you shall be free indeed. That word, it's still a Greek word, but it's eleutheros. And it means one who ceases to be a slave. It means free, exempt. It means not bound by obligation. When Jesus said the truth shall make you free, he was letting them know that if they were fully, truly his disciples, they would always know what was right. And that knowledge of what was right would give them liberty from the dominion of sin. Liberty from the dominion of sin. Freedom doesn't mean you have a free pass to do whatever you want to do. Charles Kingsley, who was an English priest, he said there are two freedoms. The false freedom, where a man is free to do what he likes. How many of you like that freedom? It's okay, I'm not taking any pictures. Okay. Then there's the true freedom. Say true freedom. See, a true freedom is when a man is free to do what he ought. Right? He's free to do his duty. He's free to do what he is obligated to do in spite of anything that tries to stop him. Because I am free. So since the Son therefore has made me free, I'm free to do what I'm supposed to do. Not what I want to do, what I'm supposed to do. Because if I go with what I want, as opposed to what he wants, I'm now a slave to sin because I'm over into disobedience. But when I start thinking, or if I'm thinking independently, then I do what I want. Because it's all about me and what I want to do. And I'm not obligated to anybody. See, and that's the attitude, unfortunately, of this world. The world thinks it's free to do whatever it feels like, whenever it feels like, for as long as it feels like, and doesn't care who doesn't like it. They don't have a problem being independent of God. But look what Galatians 3 has to say about that. Galatians 3, verse 9. This is out of the Message Bible. Because the world believes they don't have to include God in their equations, if you will. That they can just do whatever it is that they want to do. But in Galatians it says, starting with verse 9 in Galatians 3, so those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Anyone who tries by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. Those who live free from the control, influence, support, and aid of God are doomed to failure. Because God really designed us not to be independent from him. He designed us to be independent from sin. But he wants us to be, and we were designed to be, very dependent on him. Dependent is just the opposite, really, of independent. It's the state of relying on or needing someone or something else for support. We sing the song and we make the statement, without God, I can do nothing. And then we turn around and try and do everything apart from God and get upset with God when it doesn't work. And he's like, I was trying to help you, but I love you so much, I'm going to let you go on. And when you realize that you need me, I'll be right there. Be right there. Look at Proverbs 3. This is out of the Living Bible. Very, very familiar passage. My son, never forget the things I've taught you. If you want a long and satisfying life, closely follow my instructions. How many of you want a long and satisfying life? Then we have to ask ourselves, and how come we don't closely follow God's instructions? When he made it clear, that's the way to have it. Okay? Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. If you want favor with both God and man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Don't be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord and turn your back on evil. When you do that, then you will be given renewed health and vitality. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Not Boone's Farm. Okay. The finest wines. Right. I see some of y'all know about Boone's Farm. Message Bible. It's subtitled, Don't Assume You Know It All. It says, good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time, a long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials into your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Last night with the children, we were talking about experts. And they came to the conclusion that only God can be an expert because he's the only one that knows everything there is to know about anything. Okay. It says, run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. So let's just summarize just this part. He's saying, take to heart God's command. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He'll keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. This doesn't sound like freedom from control. This doesn't sound like freedom from influence. This doesn't sound like freedom from support. This sounds a whole lot like relying on or needing God's support and God's influence and God's control. We were designed to be dependent on God, not independent from Him. Psalm 37 backs up. I mean, there's so many scriptures that back this up. I just used the ones the Holy Ghost gave me because, I mean, this can be a three-month study. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, we're going to have a little fun with this one. Everybody say, we're going to hear the Elder Valerie version. Okay. See, Elder Valerie, she has this saying about things. She'll say, "This is how we roll." Right? That's what she said. So, you know, you need to understand, this is how we roll around here. Okay? Right? What do you think the word commit means in that scripture, according to the concordance? Means roll together. Roll together with the Lord. Trust in Him. See, when you roll with someone, you have to be dependent on them. Why? For what? Direction? Because if they're rolling in one way and you start going another way, you're in trouble. It's like, no, this, we're believers. This is how we roll. We're committed to the Lord. We're rolling with God. Period. Unlike the independent, God expects us to live a life submitted to His control, submitted to His influence, submitted to His support. He doesn't want us independent of any of that. He wants total dependence on Him. Go and see this. John 15. Believe it or not, I'm actually getting down to the end. Verse 3, starting in verse 3, King James Version. Jesus said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing, no thing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." It shall be done. Now, I have to ask you a question. Watch this. Looking at the, there's an open Bible test. Looking at the scripture, what did Jesus say before he said to them, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself"? What did he say? I'll give you a hint. Verse 3. He said, Now you are. Let's see what that word means. Do you remember a Luthero set at liberty from the dominion of sin? When Jesus said, "Now you are clean," and you can look it up yourself in a concordance, but one of the definitions from clean is free from corrupt desire. That's what it means. Free from sin and guilt. Jesus said, "Now you're free from your corrupt desires." Because we're free now, because of the words that He has spoken to us, we're now free, Archie, from our corrupt desires. And because I'm free from my corrupt desires, now I can abide in Him. Now I can be totally dependent on him. I couldn't do that when I'm bound up by sin. Because when I'm bound up by sin, I'm doing what I want, what pleases this flesh. But because of the word that I heard, I'm now clean. I'm free. I don't have to sin anymore. And now that I don't have to sin anymore, now I can choose to do what I ought, abide in him, and let his word abide in me. And then when I open my mouth, I'm speaking with power. Why? Because the dependent one I am dependent on is backing me up. And he's putting action to his words that I allow to come out of my mouth. So when you utter the words, be healed, God backs it up. Why? You're clean. You're no longer independent. You're now totally dependent on God's support. You're totally dependent that when you say be healed, God will support what you said because you trust entirely in him and not in your own self. Folks, that declaration of independence wasn't for us in terms of our spirituality. It was designed for what it was designed for this country to be free from the influence of another country, which wasn't allowing this religious freedom. That's what that was for, to get us into a place where we do what we ought based on what God has said. That's why the scripture said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, because that nation is doing what they ought to do and not what they want to do. You see that? Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea because he was dependent on God, not on the strength of his people. Can you imagine if he was? They'd still be in Egypt. David was dependent on God to take out Goliath. He wasn't dependent on his own strength, and he certainly wasn't dependent on Saul's armor. Because he said, I haven't proved that, but I've proved what depending on God can do. The three Hebrew boys were dependent on God. So they said, we ain't bowing down to that statue. Oh, no, we're free. See, we're free from that. We're independent of that. The God we serve, he'll deliver us. And they placed all their dependence on him. The early church. There was a lot of pressure. You think there's pressure from government for things now? Be glad you didn't live back then. Okay. Because those folks were under pressure. And they stood in the face of the pressure and they said, if you think we're going to obey you instead of God, you must be high. Well, they ain't say it exactly that way, but they said, if you think we ought to obey you instead of God, judge ye. But we can only do those things which we have seen and heard. Done. We're depending on God. Do what you will. You want me to take off my tunic first before you hit me with the stripes? I don't care. How do you stone someone and think they're dead? I mean, shouldn't there be some evidence that the person's dead? But they stoned Paul, left him for dead, dragged him out of the city. What did he do? Got up, went back into the city, and started teaching. Okay. You know how I feel about this. They say they strictly threatened, and then they further threatened, you know. And I guess they threatened and threatened. And they said, do not teach in this name. And just to make a point, they whipped them. What did they do? They got up, came out, praising God that they had the opportunity to suffer shame for his name. And the Bible says daily they were found teaching everywhere. But they were told and threatened and whipped. Why? Because the religious leaders wanted these people to be independent from God. They said, oh no, we're trusting God. We're very dependent on God. And their attitude is, you keep messing with us, you're going to find out why. It's just that simple. I guess it's left over from my nature, because it's not necessarily a bad thing. But I don't have a problem with getting in somebody's face and letting them know, you keep this up, my father is going to come visit you. And I'm not talking about James Carr. I'm talking about my Father God. And you don't want to find yourself fighting against God. You don't. Now, if you're not dependent on God, it won't matter. But our well-being is based on one thing. Really is. Our dependence on God. Period. So our nation has a written document declaring their independence. And I checked and looked, and I didn't see anything written for believers declaring our dependence on God. So God said, I'm going to show you how to rewrite the Declaration of Independence for the church. And we're going to call it our Declaration of Dependence on God. Anybody want to hear it? Okay. Well, they're going to throw it up so you can follow along. This says the unanimous declaration of the church. Listen to this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the children of God to understand that they are to have no connection to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, and to walk with delegated authority as the power on the earth because of the equal position they have with God, to which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus affords them. In spite of worldly opinions, being a new creature in Christ requires God's children to declare the truth which freed them from the powers of darkness and brought them to the liberty they now have as a child of the Most High God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created in God's image and after his likeness and are blessed by God to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, always seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, thereby endowing them with specific unalienable rights, that among these are salvation, freedom from the curse of the law, and pursuit of God's perfect will for their lives. To secure these rights, one must confess and believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of a virgin, crucified on a cross, buried, went to hell, and on the third day rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God. That selfless act of love made available a better covenant with God established on better promises. As God's children, we understand we walk by faith and not by sight, giving thanks to God who always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. So whenever any form of government stands in opposition to God and his mandate to his children, it is the right of the children of God to alter or abolish it through individual and corporate prayer for all in authority, so that we will live honestly and peaceably before God, because they know the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Such prayer will break the stronghold of the power of darkness, bringing about a new government based on the new commandment, loving others the same way Christ loved us, creating a new foundation on the principles of love and forgiveness. But when sin abounds and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, We will rest in knowing that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And because Jesus came to destroy the works of the adversary and to give us life more abundantly, it is our right and our duty to remain steadfast and immovable, casting all our care on the Lord. The history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. The history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. It does not matter how long he has kept this world in bondage. The very simple truth is Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, and is the life. To prove this, let these biblical truths be submitted to a candid world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And we just said this one earlier. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But my God, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This one's the Amplified version. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. This is from the Living Bible. When the 70 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. However, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. This is from the Phillips translation. Now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law's condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us when he was crucified. For the scripture is plain, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God's purpose is therefore plain, that the blessing promised to Abraham might reach the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and the spirit of might become available to us all by faith. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and his tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his power and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Therefore, we, the children of God, also known as the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we declare that we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him and we allow him to direct our paths. We're not wise in our own eyes. We reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It provides health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We will honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruit of our increase. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our presses shall burst out with new wine. In him we live and move and have our being. Nothing can ever separate us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will supply. God will deliver. God will protect. We further declare this day that without God we can do nothing, but with God all things are possible. We will continually offer our prayers, praise, and worship to God individually and corporately, giving honor to God, who is the supreme judge of this world, for giving us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it is our intent, by the grace of God, to do so in the name of Jesus and by the authority he gave us. Being born again and in a state of total dependence on God has absolved us from all allegiance to the devil. He has caused our lives to be hid with Christ in God. We will wholeheartedly publish and declare that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that we are and ought to always be in a state of total dependence on God and God alone. In that dependent state, we have full power to preach the word in season and out of season, heal the sick, raise the dead, blessing those that curse us, praying for those who despitefully use us. We conclude that being totally dependent on God gives us the peace that passes all understanding, a love that will promote unity of the body of Christ at large, and the wisdom to establish commerce and to do all other acts and things which those totally dependent on God have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on a protection from God, we mutually pledge to have the same care one for another as the Bible instructs us. We firmly believe that it is our sacred honor to live our lives in total dependence on God. God said it, that settles it, we believe it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now, the original Declaration of Independence was signed. This has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. That's our declaration of dependence on God. That's why we stand here today. Free. Free. No longer dominated by sin. No longer dominated by the nature to sin. We are free to do as we ought to do. We are free to do the things God has commanded us to do, and only those things do we need to commit to do. That's our declaration of dependence. I know you want a copy of it. I know. And thank you, Deacon John. He got it all ready for me because he didn't get it until Saturday. I got it to him just as soon as God gave it to me. But we're going to send it to our pub art department and let them make it befitting of the document that it is, and then we'll make it available to everybody. But bless God, that's our declaration of dependence. Everybody say, I declare that I am dependent on God for everything that keeps me going. I will never be independent from him. I need him. I need him. Praise the Lord. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm happy. I'm free. Yes, ma'am. Beg pardon? Yes, ma'am. When we make up the document, we're going to leave a place for you to sign. Amen. Amen. It's time that we started getting very vocal. Remember, a declaration is it's an emphatic statement. And some of us have not been declaring. We've been a hoping. A hoping don't heal. We need to start declaring by what. See, the colonists made this declaration by word and deed. We need our spiritual minutemen out there. At a moment's notice, you've bombarded the gates of hell. Bombarded it. We need to have watchmen. When they were saying the British are coming, the British are coming. We need to have those that watch. Let it call out the word. I see the enemy coming. And the people assemble and find, all right, God, how do you want us to handle it? And whatever he tells you to do, do. Yeah, he may tell you to fight. Or he may tell you to march around. Either way, you're dependent on him. And you will never go wrong depending on God. This, the reason we're here, the reason I'm standing here as one of the pastors is because Pastor Sarah was dependent on God. And we bought in. We bought in. Like, if Mama heard from God, then I'm hearing the same thing. That's why my attitude was every time she had, I didn't have to go and say, well, let me pray about this. As far as I was concerned, the woman of God has said to me, God told her, this is what I'm supposed to do. I believe that God gave me pastors after his own heart. So since if I believe that God gave me pastors after his heart, why wouldn't I do what they say? Why would I go against the heart of God? Why would I want to be independent? I wouldn't, and I don't, and neither do you. I'm not going to read this again. I want to. I can read it again. You have to get the. You can download it and hear it. But yes, I get excited. I got excited when I was writing it. I get excited when I read it because it's the truth. It's the truth. That's what we ought to celebrate. That's what. Yes, I'm excited that this nation is free. But even more excited that I'm free. You got something going on over there? Okay. Because I was going to let it go. You guys need an independence dance? No, I just feel something, so I'm trying to determine what it is. Aha. So you need a dependence dance. Well, stand up. Well, I guess I'll say it this way, and then we'll let them come and do the ministry of giving. You know, there's this movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When anything happened, they really got excited. They used to shout out a word. And then when they shout out that word, they just got all happy. Okay, because what they had gotten or what they were about to receive was just so good, they just couldn't control themselves. We just found out all the benefits we have because we are dependent on God. So I'm going to move this to the side, and then I'm going to move off to the side, and I'm going to ask you to act like you're Ninja Turtles. Okay. Wait, let me just move out of the way so I don't get caught in it. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Now you're Ninja Turtles. What do you say?